Number one.
Miss any part of the show?
Every moment of every show is available in podcast form
by searching Hanson Scotty on your favorite podcasting platform or online at kslsports.com. This is Hans Olsen and Scotty G on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Is going to the Final Four. NC State beats Duke 76-64, and the Wolfpack back to college basketball's promised land.
Wow. Reason why we're bumping back with a little Police. This is the number one song in 1983.
That's a good song, too, man. This was the time of music.
Yeah, that was a good time of music.
Oh, yeah.
And the last time NC State was in a Final Four, and they were led by this man, Thurl Bailey, kind enough to join us. Big T, how about those Wolfpack?
Did that give you goosebumps or what?
Okay. Hey, you know I spent some time. I did the mission thing out there.
What are you wearing today?
I got it. Hands?
He's got his big Wolfpack sweater on.
I know you do, bro.
I lived in a dingy apartment on Avent Ferry. I know all about it back there. And
Avent Ferry Road, yes, sir.
And but congratulations, man. That had to be fun for you to watch that. What were your emotions like going watching that game? And not just going to the Final Four, but beating Duke to go to the Final Four.
I know. I was in watching the game in my room, and you know, saw the first half score, and then got over to the arena and went to the media room to eat, and I was just glued to the TV set. And there were some other folks in there too that were going along for the ride. They didn't know much about NC State, but they remembered the 83 journey, and they made that connection, and you know, Destiny's Darlings hopefully again. And it was just so exciting to sit there and watch those guys play.
How good is DJ Burns?
Well, first of all, I know that he's such a good young man. I got a chance to meet him during our 40th anniversary of the championship visit last year. Coach Keats brought me and the rest of my teammates in, and we got to speak after one of their practices. And it was DJ Burns who I think really was with Chip.
We're going to try to get you on a better line there, Big T. Because we got some quality conversation here, especially with DJ Burns, who's turned into one of our favorite players in all of college basketball.
And remind me when he jumps back on, because I want to get his take on Burns' game.
Yeah.
He was talking about meeting Burns at the 40th, but I want to get his take on Burns' game and maybe even talk to him about that matchup. But did you know that Sidney Lowe was on that NC State team?
Oh, yeah.
I had no idea.
Yep.
Sidney Lowe, for those of you that don't know, he came here and was an assistant coach with the Jazz.
With Tyrone Corbin, yeah.
For a period of time. And just kind of interesting stories with Sidney Lowe. But I didn't know he was on that team.
Yeah. Moncrief, you go through the list. There's a lot of great players on that team.
Yeah, Moncrief. Lorenzo Charles was on that team. So kind of a throwback to an amazing time for NC State. And just to think that this is their first time back to the Final Four since then.
I know, right?
They haven't been back.
Nope. And to do it as an 11 seed, to win 5 games in 5 days in the ACC tournament, to even make the tournament. I mean, come on. All right, let's circle back on DJ Burns, Big T. Now we got you back on the line. You say you got a chance to meet him and really impressed with who he is as a person.
Yeah, I was really impressed. I mean, you know, if you've gone through something special with a group of guys, you kind of know what that looks like, what it feels like. And that team just seemed, even last year, like they had something special brewing. Guy who kind of was a natural leader on that team. And And not afraid to speak up. I mean, very eloquent young man. And I just really liked him right away. I just thought that he was going to be the anchor of that team.
So, Big T, I thought it was incredible when they were talking to him in the post game, and they said, so what's different? I mean, you wouldn't even made the tournament if you didn't go win that conference championship tournament. And he said, well, guys started showing up on time. Nobody was getting trouble off the court. Everybody was kind of bought in. I thought his vision of what turned this team around is the identity of what a team should be.
Oh, no question about it. And that's exactly the journey that – part of the journey that we took back then, right? I mean, the coach wasn't around us all the time. So, you know, we had to be responsible. And we had some seniors on the team at that particular year, myself and Derek and Sydney, that made sure that guys were – you know, where they needed to be and not getting in trouble. So there's a lot that goes into that journey. And I know people focus on the game a lot and the wins and losses, but you've got to build something special to even get there. And of course, there's things have to line up for you, but they just seem to be ready and waiting for this NC State team to capitalize.
So, Burns' game is so much fun to watch. And before you got cut off, Hans was asking you, you talked about him as a person, but what do you love about his game? Because, I mean, you know, look, I'll tell you, when I played basketball, I was T-shirt under the jersey guy. So, you know, some of us aren't made to just go with the jersey. Some of us need that T-shirt, and he fits that mold. But boy, he is so silky smooth out there, and he's big, he's aggressive, but yet he's finesse around the rim. I mean, what really jumps out to you as a former player about how he plays the game?
Well, I just think that he's a throwback almost. I mean, Scotty, I think in a foot race, you could probably win against DJ Burns. I don't think he's the guy who is going to be sprinting up and down on the fast break, but Coach Keach utilizes him in the right way. He is a beast underneath, right? And if you double team him, triple team him, he's a great passer. He's got great vision as a big and probably an undersized big, right? For the most part.
Yeah.
But he is just unique in the fact that he knows how to handle himself down there. And there, you know, a lot of players who are that size are just kind of put down there to take up space. But, man, just watching him move and spin to that left hand and hit that off-the-glass shot right before you get to the rim, before the defender can get there, he is just – he's equipped. He's equipped with what they need from him. And, you know, obviously it takes more than him, but he really is the focal point of that team. And if you try to stop him from scoring, he sets guys up. So I think just the whole package and he's on the right team at the right time.
So what happens in this Final Four matchup against Purdue and Zach Edey? You get this Burns-Zach Edey matchup. I don't know how much time you've put into watching Zach Edey and Purdue, but who wins in that big man matchup?
Well, of course, I hope NC State wins. I mean, it's not going to be easy. You've got a heck of a big and Zach Edey. I'm not sure anybody else has really figured out, you know, how to go at him yet. You can't go at him one-on-one. He's going to just bury you in the paint. Offensively, you may have to, you know, work the mid-range a little bit, get up in his body, maybe push him in the restricted area if you're DJ Burns. But you know that's where the creativity of coaching comes in, and I believe that the thing both those teams have in common is they play at their own pace, right? They've got two bigs who aren't going to be sprinters up and down the floor, so they will run on opportunities without them if they need to, but they will work their half court offense through each of those guys and try to get the best solution. So I think it could end up being a good matchup because both teams have some really good players around those two bigs.
So, you know, when your NC State days, when you guys ended up winning the title, you were heavy underdogs throughout a good chunk of that tournament as well. What is it about momentum when you may not necessarily be the most talented team and everybody's writing you off, but NC State was left for dead. All the kid from Virginia had to do was make a free throw, and who knows, there may be a coaching change there. But instead, you win 5 games in 5 days, you win the ACC tournament, then you turn around, and now you're in the Final Four. What is it that happens with a team when they're able to flip a switch like that? Because this is just incredible.
Isn't that something about free throws?
Yeah.
I think free throws saved us as well. It was during a time when Coach Valvano was really adamant about players stepping up in moments that we're going to test them, right? National TV, you know, you're in the Final Four championship game. We're looking at your free throw percentage. We don't really care, but we're going to test you as a freshman. We're going to test you as a player to see whether you can withhold that attitude to knock these free throws down. And more times often than not, it didn't happen for the other team. That's how we were able to stay in games. We were taking risks. Coach V was a risk taker, so we were a risk-taking team, trying to be smart about it. But, you know, a lot has to happen, right? I mean, things have to line up. Teams have to, you know, you do what you can do on the court. You don't have a choice of who you're matched up with. But I think there is something to having momentum and understanding what you need to do at particular times in games to have an opportunity to win. That's what Coach V used to say. We just want to put ourselves in a position to win. We're not going to win every game, but if we can get in a position to win, you know, we can take it from there.
So tell me what Clyde Drexler was like as a college basketball player.
Oh, he was amazing. He was a freak of nature. And he was at the right school to show it off because they had a lot of freaks of nature on that team.
Oh, yeah.
Hakeem Olajuwon was just coming along as a player. He hadn't played basketball for very long. I think he played football, soccer, in our language. But Clyde Drexler was one of the most exciting players of his time, and he was just a marvel to watch play.
Can you remember the scouting on him? Could you force him to a certain direction, put the ball in a certain hand?
The scouting was, this team likes to run and dunk. You know, our coaches had watched enough VHS tape. You know, to know what this team was all about. So it wasn't so much focused on Drexler. I mean, he was a key ingredient in that. But what got them going was what got them their moniker of Phi Slamma Jamma. They like to run it down your throat, and they like to dunk over top of you. They didn't have a lot of great jump shooters. They had some guys who could get to the basket, but they just wanted to kill you on the break, going up and down, and just make you relent and draw up the white flag. So the strategy was not to let them dunk. That was the strategy. If we could not let them dunk, if we can get more dunks than they could get, we'd have an opportunity to win the game. And so that was really the strategy for that whole team, especially after watching them play Louisville a couple of days, nights before.
So, Hans, I want to take you through NC State's run to this championship.
Okay.
So, you have a close game against Pepperdine. You have a close game against UNLV. And then we're going to skip ahead a little bit. Obviously, close game against Virginia. 7-point win against Virginia. Then, of course, the 2-point victory against Houston. You only had one blowout victory in that run. That was against some guy named Pace Mannion, right?
Yeah, it was. I was on the phone with Pace this morning. I love that guy.
75-56 victory over Utah.
Hey, how is Pace? Yeah. How's he doing, T?
Pace's doing well. Yeah, he's doing so good. And unfortunately, you know, his mom passed away just recently. And what an amazing woman she was. But Pace and I have been friends. I mean, it's interesting that he was my opponent. I was his last college game, but we are so good friends today, and it's always good to catch up with him and shoot the breeze. But Yeah, that was probably our easiest game going through. And, you know, Pepperdine was probably our toughest.
Yeah. What so for the game coming up on Saturday, is there a Jazz game that night? I haven't even looked ahead. Are you gonna be able to watch this thing, or do you have Jazz commitments that night?
I don't have Jazz commitment. I think we play Friday, Sunday. We're gonna be out in California, so I will be able to watch. If they can get past Purdue, I'm planning on
yes.
in the Phoenix.
There you go. So
be at the championship game.
Before we let you go, obviously you'd be remiss. You know, these are not great times for the Jazz in terms of win-losses, but there's a lot of development. Your rookies went for a combined 58 last night. Are you seeing the development you want to see out of those guys at this point in the season with the Jazz making that youth movement? Because that's what it's about right now, is developing and getting reps and getting ready for next year and going forward.
Well, first thing is about understanding what you just said. You know, whether you're Jazz Nation, whether you're coaches, whether you're Justin, Danny, is the team we played. I was talking to Bowler last night about the Sacramento Kings and what they went through for a lot of years to try to get to this point. I think the number 16 years was mentioned. I said, well, I don't think the league's that patient anymore, and neither are teams. But that is exactly what Justin and Danny's plan is to try to build a championship team. And you know, not a lot of numbers have been thrown out, but I'm going to say 3 to 5 years. But you got to start somewhere, right? You've got to start with a plan. And what I've been witnessing over the past few games or so, the past month or so, is a Keontae George, who earlier in the season really proved that he's NBA ready. Now it really is about what's next for him. The longevity of the season. I think he's getting a little fatigued. I did when I was a rookie. I got tons of minutes. Taylor Hendricks, Bryce Sensabaugh, I think last night was really a good game to watch Bryce Sensabaugh work. I think he's a guy who really can play at his own pace. He's going to get better defensively. We know he can score. And then Taylor Hendricks, the number 9th pick for the Jazz, he's probably the most athletic. He may have the most upside of all three of those players just because of how he's built and what he's going to be able to do to stress the floor defensively on the help side, guard the other team's best players. So, yeah, this is that time, guys. This is that time when the patience has to kick in and say, look, we're building something here, which every team that's ever been good, ever won a championship has had to do. It doesn't happen instantly. And we're going through those growing pains right now.
Hey, Big T, before we let you go, just another thing that the Jazz are going through. Justin Zanuck, it was just recently announced that he's going to be going through a kidney transplant coming up tomorrow. And Scotty and I have just gushed over him. Both Scotty and I think the world of him, just love him. I don't know what your relationship is with him, but can you just give us a quote on your thoughts on what Justin Zanuck's about to face?
You know, we don't get an opportunity to sit with Justin and, you know, and have dinner and shoot the breeze, but he is so good at communicating with us. And, you know, if we want some clarity on some things, we'll sit down in a room and we'll talk about it. So we have more than a business relationship with Justin because we're part of the same team. And he has just been, one, it's been fun to learn his story about how he was previously an agent and represented players. And so he's been in this arena, if you will, for a long time. But I love what he brings. I love what he brings. He brings that sense of professionalism. You know, you know that he's working. Whenever you get a chance to see him, whether it's down in shoot around or whether it's on the road, he's working towards wanting to build something here. You know, he's a very personable guy. And we wish him nothing but the best. We had a chance to sit with him and chat with him about what he's about to go through and get educated, basically. And so we wish him the best and wish him a speedy, speedy recovery as well.
Thurl, I'm going to be rocking the NC State gear all week, man. Let's go. Let's do
rock
this.
It, baby.
Let's do it.
I can overnight you something, Hans, if you want. T-shirt, cap. What do you want, baby?
I would love it. You know what? Because I'm sitting here looking at Scotty's red and gray and the big wolf pack. And by the way, this isn't hiding anything. This is not subtle fandomship. This is like in your face wolf pack. And
it should be.
And also, I want to tell you this, Big T. This is our 10th year of doing the show together. And this is the first time I've seen him rock gear. In 10 years. So he showed up. He's like, this is my mission. I've got a lot of love for NC State. I love my Big T. And he's got his big wolf pack. So I really do need just a shirt.
Spent 5 months of my life on that campus. Love it.
Yeah, we'll get you taken care of. Hey, you know, the Wolfpack mantra this year is why not us? Ours was survive in advance. But I like what they're selling. Why not us?
Why not us?
It's beautiful to watch.
I can't imagine how much fun you're having watching this. I mean, that's just your alma mater. The last time they did it, you were on that team. It's got to be a fun run for you. Congratulations, man. This is really cool.
Thank you. Thank you, guys.
We love you, Big T. You've done an amazing job this year, too,
yeah,
by the way.
Sure.
Your broadcasts have just been stellar, and we appreciate your professionalism.
Thanks for having me on, guys.
There you go. Thurl Bailey right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Am I being unprofessional today wearing rocking this thing?
No, Scotty, stop it.
All right.
Not at all.
Okay, good.
If anything, dude, you're just supporting Big T.
Yeah, that's it.
I mean, I would rock the Wolfpack just because I love Big T, but here's the thing. That dude squared up with Clyde Drexler and Akeem Olajuwon.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, come on.
They didn't call him Clyde the Glide for nothing.
And he beat him.
I almost feel stupid talking about Burns and Edie when we're talking about what Big T went through.
Because let's be honest, both Burns and Edie are not going to be great pros.
Literally could not hold Olajuwon or Drexler's jocks.
No.
You couldn't put them in their hands. They would fumble it away.
No. No.
That is NBA royalty.
Yeah.
And I can't even tell you how much I loved Clyde Drexler in the original Dream Team.
Yeah.
He was that underrated piece that was highlighted so well. And they did, every time they would play the games, they would do a nice highlight piece of players. And they highlighted him so well with his ability to get off the floor, get to the rim, his one-on-one nature, his overall just aggression, his tenacity. I love that guy.
Well, that's
Big T stared him down in that championship.
And beat him. That's the thing that bothers me a little bit about that Jordan documentary that came out during COVID, is that Jordan took shots at so many people. And if you don't know the history of the NBA, you're going to think all of those guys were laughingstocks.
Yeah, we're bums.
When he goes after Gary Payton, and he goes after Clyde Drexler, and he goes after Dan Majerle, and he goes, like, all these guys are bums. Blah, blah, blah. And so this generation watches that and think, oh, Clyde Drexler must not have been very good. You know, because here's Jordan running him into the ground. Well, Jordan was such at another level. Yeah. He could run anybody in the ground.
Yeah.
But if you really, truly appreciate the game of basketball, you need to know how great Clyde Drexler was, how great Hakeem Olajuwon was. I mean, these were just bona fide, incredible superstars.
I am not a basketball historian, but I absolutely know what Clyde Drexler meant to the game.
Yeah.
And that should tell you just how impressive he was, because I don't sit here and gush about any basketball players, but I loved. That's why when we had Big T on, I had to ask him.
Yeah.
Because he stood out to me amongst so many. And I get it. You know, I understood that documentary, because that documentary, it might have just been called, might as well have just been called Michael Jordan.
Yes.
That's what it was. And he hasn't done himself any favors with friendships, and he doesn't seem to care at all. And that's fine. It's part of his mystique. It's part of his legacy. It's part of what I actually love and respect about him. But that team wasn't just him. That's for dang sure.
Nope. All right, 2:31. Big thanks to Thurl Bailey for joining us. We'll take a break, come back, and spin the wheel. Sports Roulette next, right here on The Zone.
This is DJ and PK.
Evan Brendan joining us, NFL agent with the United Athletes Sports Agency. A lot of pride in the local fan bases here. In this year's draft, which of these fan bases is going to be fired up? Who might go pretty early in the draft, or is it too soon to know?
I think Kingsley at BYU is going to go pretty high, probably second, third round. We'll see if someone reaches even higher, but he's one of the freakiest offensive linemen in the whole draft. Cole Bishop is a guy that on the road all the time I was hearing about. Keaton Bills at Utah, among many, many others. Utah is probably going to have more draft picks than BYU. I would say BYU will have one or two. Utah will have two, three, four, maybe even more. So I think BYU you'll see represented at the top end, but Utah will be represented more and more and more and more. These are all good things for the local fans in the Beehive State.
Catch DJ and PK mornings from 6 to 10. Presented by Murdoch Hyundai, Utah's number one Hyundai dealer for 16 years in a row. On 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. The wheel is loaded, and it's time to talk some sports. This is Sports Roulette with Hanson Scotty on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
It is Sports Roulette, all brought to you by UCCU. Love where you bank, Utah Community Credit Union. Learn and earn with the app, paying your family to learn about money. Again, UCCU. Hands, I'm fired up for tonight, man.
Oh, I cannot wait. I cannot wait, man. I think, let's see, is that on the headline?
It might show up.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's. I know that it's on the wheel, but tonight is a very big night for me. Anytime you got matchups like this, it's a big night.
Yep. So let's get to it. Fire up that wheel, Lloyd.
There will be no sulky for Mulkey tonight.
Dude, first of all, did you guys catch the Kim Mulkey piece?
I read it, yeah.
It wasn't that bad. Like, the whole time, when she got in front of it, I'm like, oh, here comes the Joe Pa type story, or here comes a mighty undoing of an individual. And there was some family fallout, and there were some anonymous people that were like, yeah, I think she discriminates. And there was, but nothing overly inflammatory.
It's interesting. You know, I'd love the PR angle of, that's what I majored in college, and that's what I thought I was going to do for a living. And I'm not quite sure. You and I were talking a little bit about this. Would it have been best just to let it come out and then respond? Because the preemptive strike actually, I think, backfired a little bit on her by getting more eyes on it. I think had this story just come out and then you address it after the fact, I think it becomes a non-story. But now, as soon as that thing hit, all of us were like getting right to our computers, like, where is it? Where is it? I need to read it.
So I had the exact same thought, but this is was my feeling after I completed the story. And it's a good 20-minute read. I mean, it's long. After I completed the story, I thought to myself, something was redacted. Something was taken out.
Yeah, and that's a good point.
Something that maybe didn't qualify. Something when she threatened to sue, I promise you, he had to go back through that with a fine-tooth comb and say, is there anything in here that's going to get me in trouble?
Yeah.
And I can't help but believe that there were guesses or rumors or hearsay or he said, she said stuff that person was like, I can't do it.
Some editors out there like, hey, man, you need to go take another look through that.
We've got the world's eyes on us.
Yeah.
And they knew that this piece was going to be blown up into the stratosphere. And they released it a couple of hours before LSU started into their Elite Eight game. I mean, it was gutsy where they released it, but then they took stuff out. So I don't know, Scotty. I almost feel like the preemptive strike may have forced their hand to be almost more complimentary because there was complimentary stuff in there about Kim Mulkey. And also, they had to be a little bit more introspective of, what's this going to get us? How bad is this going to get us? So I don't know. It definitely brought attention, but it does make me wonder, did it get the things that she wanted out of it? And the whole Brittany Griner thing, with, she didn't show the support for Brittany Griner. Get that out of my face.
Yeah.
Get all that garbage out of my face. She cared. She sent out a release. She was like, yeah, I hope she gets back safe. That's where she belongs. But just like the rest of the country, we have all got heavy opinions on it. I'm sure she had a very heavy opinion on it and was probably sitting there with her own opinion. She didn't need to get out there and wave the flag and wear a Brittany Griner shirt. Nobody, I didn't expect her to do that.
Yeah. That's the one thing about our society we live in right now. We're not out there not only like taking a stand on one issue or another, but we're also judging people on where they make their stand.
Oh, it's so stupid. It is so stupid.
Like
that you can just judge somebody else on the way they handled it this way.
Just worry about you. You do you.
Yeah. Yeah. So
I didn't see him send out a tweet. I'm like, oh Jesus, stop it.
Oh, I can't even. I just can't. I can't do it.
Your silence is damning.
Silence is compliance. Oh, the whole thing. I can't deal with any of this crap. She's got opinions on how she felt. I thought she handled it well. She released a couple of statements on it. And for anybody to judge her and the way she handled it, I'm sure she was going through a lot herself.
Yeah.
So I thought that it worked out well. But tonight is the night.
Yes.
And my prediction, LSU stomps Iowa.
Oh, really?
Into the ground.
You think so, huh?
Yeah. Too much aggression.
Physicality?
Too much physical. Too much size.
You might be right.
Too much good coaching. They know how to get out the perimeter, close on the perimeter, close on Caitlin Clark. They know what Iowa's all about. They know what that whole platform is. And they've got every angle. I guarantee you Kim Mulkey's going to have every angle cut off.
Yeah.
And I expect an LSU win tonight. And there might be people that are like, well, who do you want to win? I don't care.
I just want a good game.
Iota. Yeah. I want a great game. I want to see gamesmanship. And I want to see Angel Reese do the hand in front of her face again and point at another ring finger. And I want to see Caitlin Clark get her crazy on and screaming at the crowd and getting people engaged. That's what I want.
Yeah, 100%.
Just let these women be showpieces.
Yep. All right, spin it, Lloyd.
He's back.
Joel Embiid is returning tomorrow, Scotty.
Let's go.
And just in time for Philly.
Yeah, they need him.
Joel Embiid expected to be back tomorrow night against the Oklahoma City Thunder, and you're right, they need him. I think, correct me if I'm wrong, Scotty, I think that they're going to attempt to get Embiid back and see if they can climb out of the play-in. That'd be my guess.
Yeah.
I think that's why you would rush him back right now. And I don't know if they can get themselves out of the play-in at this point, but he's coming back from his meniscus surgery, and we'll see. Right now, the 76ers are in eighth spot in the Eastern Conference, and there's seven games remaining, and we'll see if he can help them climb out of it. But they have not been the same since losing Joel Embiid, and he was headed directly for a course to repeat his MVP. He was averaging 35 points, 10 rebounds, 5 assists. He was doing everything well. And we'll see if his return can bring the 76ers back into contention.
All right, one more, Lloyd. Spin it.
Well, that sucks.
It does indeed, Lloyd, because the city of Oakland is now presenting the Oakland Athletic ownership an offer to extend the team's lease through their time in Oakland before they go to Las Vegas, giving them a home where they can stay in the same facility throughout the time while they build the stadium. Now, there is a kicker, though. Everything comes with a cost. The city is requiring a $97 million extension fee. So essentially the A's, and I don't know what they're paying right now for rent or whatever their costs are to be in the Oakland Coliseum, but that number is going to go up by $97 million. So they're saying you can stay here, you can keep your TV revenue, but you are going to have to kick us $97 million. Now, I don't, 97 seems kind of like a weird number, but not 100, not 90, but it's $97 million. The team and the city will meet again coming up tomorrow. It'll be the third formal meeting between the two sides since the Athletics received unanimous approval from the Major League Baseball owners to move the franchise to Las Vegas. Jeez. So, again, you got the A's that are going to, if they stay there, will be able to hold on to their $70 million a year that they make in TV money that they would lose if they came to Salt Lake City. However, they are going to have to pony up some money, a lot of money, to spend the remainder of their time in Oakland. So they're going to be a little bit of a cost analysis. I do know that there are some within the that have been negotiating with the A's that are just now here in Salt Lake City that are just like, it's either time to do it or get off the pot, but you got to make up your mind.
Jeez Louise, man.
So tough decisions for Oakland.
Well,
with an organization that has been known to have a decision-making complex.
We're sure this isn't an April Fool's thing.
Yeah, it's on the worldwide leader, so I can't imagine they'd be.
Because I just got took on an April Fool's thing.
On what? Oh, yeah. Sorry. Something we talked about on the air.
Yeah, not happy about that. This is a bummer. Why would Oakland do this? I don't understand what they're. Everybody wants them gone.
Yeah.
They want gone.
Yeah, maybe it's see if they can put an extra $100 million in their coffers.
It's like mom and dad getting divorced and trying to stay together for the kids.
What else are we going to do with that stadium? The Raiders are gone. You know, might as well get some use out of it, make a little bit of money over the next few years.
Oakland's losing everything.
Hey, big storyline here. Breaking news. Adrian Wojnarowski tweeting out. Come on, Adrian, stick with the college, or stick with the NBA. You don't need to get in the college ranks. But Kansas Jayhawks longtime coach Bill Self announcing his retirement after 21 seasons, 4 Final Fours, 2 national championships, as the Jayhawks now will be hiring a new head coach. All right, 250, Hans and Scotty. We'll wrap things up next, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present...
This is JJ and Alex.
Jay Stevens, Utah Puck Report is a podcast you can go listen to yourself.
The writing is on the wall. I mean, there's $1 billion just approved through legislation. I think the state sees it, the city sees it as an opportunity to kind of revitalize downtown Salt Lake City. So even the people that aren't hockey fans are on board. The NHL really seems to like Ryan Smith. So you just start putting all those pieces together, and it just looks like it's inevitable. And that's how I see it. I see, like, this is something that's happened. This train's coming. You should get on board and enjoy it and then be able to say I was there from the beginning.
Catch JJ and Alex afternoons from 3 to 6. Presented by G2G Bars on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Time to Hans Olsen and Scotty Cheer.
That's right, yeah!
On 97.5, the KSL Sports Show.
Standing here beside you. I know. I'm seeing your tweets. I know. As soon as Lloyd turned off the mics, I looked. I saw. I usually am pretty good at looking at Twitter accounts before I start running my mouth. It was the end of the segment. It just popped up. It got retweeted by another news guy that I thought, that's what happens when you...
Gosh, dang it.
Stay in your lane, Woj. What the heck's your problem?
Bill Self is not retiring. I got it. You don't need to send any more tweets. I know. I screwed up. It's April Fool's Day. I know it. I got duped. We were perfect. We were throwing a no-hitter today. We had a perfect show. Perfect game.
I even had to double-check on the Oakland story with you because I'm like, that doesn't sound right. And they slipped one in another way.
And it was just the end of the segment, too. And it's like, oh, that makes sense. Yeah, Bill Self's getting up there.
What I don't like about it, though, Lloyd knew it and didn't dump the sound.
No, Lloyd's the one that created. You know how Lloyd is with fake accounts. He's the one that created the account.
Yeah.
Stop it.
You've run quite a few in the past.
Nope.
not going to do this.
And you heard, you knew what was going on. You could have dumped it and been like, I got you. I got your back.
Wow, I needed it to be just a little bit closer there. I didn't want to dump some of the commercial.
So Bill Self is not going the way of Les Miles.
No.
Let's just remember, Woj doesn't typically have anything to do with college basketball.
No, he does sometimes.
Football. Not for the most part.
Every once in a while.
Son of a... Anyway. Other than that, great show today. Big thanks to Craig Smith, who joined us. Big thanks to Thurl Bailey, who joined us. We got some insight on the new Utah State coach. By the way, we'll have that press conference, and we'll have his first interview here in Salt Lake coming up tomorrow as well. So we'll have complete coverage of that. So we got you covered. And, yeah, I done screwed up, folks. I get it. Stop it. Stop sending in the tweets. I get it. I screwed up. What do you want me to do?
Watch out, everybody. Les Miles.
What do you want me to do?
He has been fired.
I can't go in the DeLorean and go 88 miles an hour and tell my old self, like, hey, don't read the tweet. Don't do it. Like, I would love to. I can't. So I'm sorry. That's my bad.
Really quick before we go, though, I did want to know. So Utah State's got a new helmet that they're unveiling.
Stop it. That was funny.
That was funny.
Back at it tomorrow. Hands and Scotty. Hope you have a good Monday. Enjoy some college hoops coming up tonight. Should be a fun one. You're saying LSU and just a old fashioned buck kick.
LSU by 8+.
Whew. I'll take that. We want to do a little paradise on it.
How many would you go? 5.5?
6.5.
Okay, done. 6.5.
All right.
Paradise.
Done. Hands and Scotty, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.